Hello? Hello. Good afternoon. How's everybody doing? All right. Well, it's been a long 2 days. Let me introduce myself. My name is Anthony Cangelosi. You probably haven't met me in person yet because I've been scrambling around without a head for the last 2 days, hoping that everything is going just right and that we've got speakers in rooms giving you great content. So I hope that's all been really useful and productive for you. Welcome to this event, and I want to say that I hope that all of you have been learning about everything that's possible about extending Visual Studio in the product today. And what we do at the end of this session, we started this last year for the first time, worked really well. We ask our VSIP partners to come up and show you a little bit about what's already been done on Visual Studio and how you can find products that extend Visual Studio and add additional value into the product. So this is going to be a fun, fast-paced, hopefully entertaining, exciting session. The way that this is going to work is there's a few rules, and it's interactive. You guys all participate in this to make sure it's as quick and successful and exciting as it can be. We have a number of our partners that will be presenting today. They have a 5-minute time period to run through their session. They're going to give you some cool intro slides, talk about their product, tell you what they do, what their value is, and what they have. We have Heather here who's going to give them a 1-minute countdown of when they have their last minute. At the end of that minute, a bell is going to ring. A louder bell is going to ring. And that is a signal for the rest of the audience to applaud and let them know what a wonderful job they've done in their 5 minutes. So let's go ahead and run through that experience and see what that looks like. Great. Let's try it one more time because I think you guys can applaud a little bit better than that. Thank you. Excellent. 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 So now you see how the session is going to go. We have a lineup of partners that know just in what order they're going to go in, and we have the timer all set up. So with that, I'll let us kick it off with the first partner. Who is? Who is that, Mel?
Hello, can you hear me? Yep.
So this is the...
Hi, my name is Lars. I work for a company called Atmel. I don't know if you are familiar with Atmel, but we are a semiconductor manufacturer. We work worldwide and we have 6,000 employees. We're located in our main headquarters is in San Jose, and my department, which is the tools department, is located in Norway. We are our main focus is on microcontrollers, and we have two main architectures called AVR and AVR32. And they are used in consumer electronics, like computer networking and industrial automatics. Our business model is very simple. We give out our tools for free, and we sell the devices, and we make money on them. We also have some hardware tools, which we sell for a break-even cost. We have 10 years of experience, where we have developed IDEs, and we have more than 100,000 downloads each year. We develop a complete IDE with language support for our microcontrollers, which is mainly C, C++, and assembly. We integrate compilers, that is GCC, but also our custom assembler. We have some nice debug features, such as trace, profiling, and some special embedded debug functionality. Previously, we have had some releases based on the MFC. There, we had to implement the whole project structure ourselves. But we have also had some releases based on Eclipse. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to mention Eclipse here, but anyway. Now, this year, we have had our first Visual Shell-based release, which was a specific development studio for a small segment of the microcontroller business, which is the touch business. We stripped away almost everything from the basic shell, and we added just a basic control panel for debugging a touch microcontroller. We allowed users to connect to their host computer to our microcontroller, and they could run a basic debugging there. Now, our main focus for 2010 is a more complete IDE, which will include support for the whole development cycle for developers using AVR. We will it will be based on the Visual Studio Shell platform. We run in isolated mode. We have a lot of new features there. We will port all our existing language support for the C, C++, assembly, and such, and we will add that to the Shell platform. We also integrate our build system for GCC and other compilers. We'll also add support for open make files and such. And now we're also working on creating our own or integrating our own debug engine. We have our own AVR backend debug engine, which is platform independent, which we want to integrate, and we build a kind of a bridge between the Visual Studio debug interface and our own debugger. That's quite difficult. Further, we want to extend those who develop embedded software working on 8-bit controllers. They have some specific debug needs, which... okay.
How about this one? Hi, my name is Oleg Sitch. I'm a consultant with Catapult Systems. We are a Microsoft consulting company. We focus exclusively on Microsoft tools technologies. We specialize in custom application development, core infrastructure, and enterprise applications. So my role is an application developer. So you may be wondering, what is an app dev guy doing at Visual Studio Extensibility Conference, right? So let me share something with you. T4 Toolbox. It's a code generation tool that we have used successfully on multiple projects, and it basically extends the built-in functionality, code generation functionality in Visual Studio 2008, and allows you to generate multiple output files, add them to multiple projects, multiple folders, and automatically manage the addition and checkout of these files from source control. So let me show you what it does. Let's see. All right. So what I'm doing here is I'm adding a code generator that we created to the project file. So it's a link to SQL model. Yeah, link to SQL is old news, right? Okay, so far everything looks standard. So we have our link to SQL designer surface, and I'm adding the populating the model using the Northwind sample database. All right, so watch what will happen now. As I click save button here, watch what happens on the right hand side of the screen. Okay. Notice that multiple files were generated. Unlike the built-in link to SQL designer, this generator produces the entity classes in individual files. It breaks them up. So why is this big deal? Anyone try to generate link to SQL classes on a database with 300 tables? Not so fun. All right. So What's behind this code generator is a T4-based code generator. Why is this important? Well, T4 is cool because it allows you to change the code generator on the fly, and this is what I'm doing here. I'm assigning a property of this code generator, so I'm specifying a database project. I have a database project in this solution, and when I save this file to trigger the code generation, what happens behind the scenes is database scripts were created and automatically added to this Visual Studio database project. So now we have our categories table, our customer demo table. So now we can take advantage of the built-in functionality in Visual Studio Database Edition to automatically deploy this database to a production server, even if that production server already has a database running on it. The Visual Studio Database Edition will automatically take care of determining the delta scripts that need to be deployed. So this code generator take advantage of that. What happens next? Once we're done initial modeling? You know, let's say that we're done and we're checking this solution in source control, right? So the development lifecycle doesn't stop there. So let's say that we need to add a new attribute, new property to our employee class. You know, I'm adding email here. So Northwind was created in the 90s. Not everyone had an email back then. So we definitely need to upgrade this here. So as we save this model, two things happen. One, unlike with the built-in T4 features, notice that the code generation occurred instantaneously. As soon as the input file, the DBML file, was saved, the code generation occurred. You will notice that only those files that had to be modified, that were regenerated, that changed, were checked out. And so you will see that the email column was added to the employees table. If you're wondering why it says NVARCHAR 4000, that's the default link to SQL mapping, and you can change that in the link to SQL designer. The same thing happened.
Hi all, I'm Christine Medeiros. I come from CollabNet. We extend the Visual Studio environment by integrating it to our ALM platform and also creating, working with the community, the integration to Subversion. So how many Subversion users in the room, ever, in your life? How about AnkSVN, which is made specifically for Visual Studio? Open source is a principle, our core principle. In fact, all our integrations, including this desktop, is all open source. It's not free, it's open source. And it continues to grow because we have full-time committers both on AnkSVN and on the greater SVN Subversion project. So we're continuing to move forward. I wanted to give some to Sandra and Bert, who are really the leaders of making AnkSVN happen. So this desktop that we have, it allows you to do all your ALM, everything from coding and your build and test, deploying, everything right from Visual Studio. It is not a user interface. It's not a tabbed app. We actually use Visual Studio components to build it all. So it is just seamless, optimized for Subversion. So that you can do everything, all your work with your repositories, all within Visual Studio. This is all available now, and you can download it from the gallery or from our own open community, which I have the link at the end. And, of course, one thing we really tout is that we support distributed environments, that you're all over the place. You have people in India, as the man who was earlier here today. You know, you have someone in Texas. You're all working on different projects, but you need to reuse the same IP. You've done all this work. Don't lose it. So that's one of the strengths of what we have to say. And again, do it within Visual Studios where you want to be working from. So I'm just going to touch on some 2.0 improvements that are going to come out with the announcement of TeamForge 5.3 helps enable some of these new things. And some of them is so that you can actually work like how you like to work in Visual Studio, so that you can drag and drop and click and stuff, and no more retyping and cutting and pasting. So much more tighter, seamless integration so that you're working in the world you want to work in. Again, the same thing with Subversion. Even that has been improved of how you can interact with that tool. And again, we've also now will be supporting all kinds of trackers so that you can actually have more, you know, complete traceability with a bug going from code being coming from one system to another. So some really, really good things that, again, the community has been driving. 1.6 builds are available right now, and 2.0, again, will be released in December. And just sort of the end of the punchline, my job is this thing called Collab Exchange. I work with technology partners who want to do things with Subversion, who want to create integrations with our TeamForge product. And so, again, we're agnostic. Whatever language you want to work in, we want to support. Whatever method, we want to support. One integrated platform, agile-ready, some templates that even kickstart you right into an agile project, continuous build and integration, cloud provisioning through VMware. All this stuff is, you know, integrated and accessible to anyone using Visual Studio and just grabbing our plug and using it. And it doesn't look good on here, but again, we're in the Visual Studio, and so is Ankh. SVN is also there. They're our number one download on our community site, something like 20,000 a week or something crazy like that. We have an open community, and then also the exchange, where you'll see a handful of other partners, and I'm always looking for more integrators who want to add more to this environment.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. My name is Greg Lutz, and I am one of the product managers for Component One. Today I'm going to take you through a little happy slideshow that I put together that shows some of the products that Component One offers and how we can extend Visual Studio. Development tools for Visual Studio. With over 22 years of development experience, Component One brings you hundreds of custom controls for Visual Studio that cover 7 platforms, including WinForms, WPF, Silverlight, and ASP.NET. If you're not sure what a custom control is, basically it's a control that extends the features of the standard controls that come in the Visual Studio toolbox. Custom controls save development time, less coding, and they also fill in the gaps. They provide you controls that you wouldn't normally find in the toolbox, such as scheduling or help. I'm going to briefly mention some of the other products that Component One offers. They go beyond the functionality of Visual Studio. One of them is our SharePoint web parts, and we also have our help authoring documentation, Doc2Help. But there are two products, very unique products, that Component One offers that do extend the functionality of Visual Studio. One that can be used across all development platforms, IntelliSpell, and one that is specifically for Silverlight, our Zap Optimizer. IntelliSpell is our intelligent spell checking tool. It's an extension to Visual Studio. It's very easy to set up and configure. You just run the install, and it automatically adds itself to the tools menu. And you get a toolbar. It can either be down there or up above. With just one click from this toolbar, you can spell check your entire solution. The spelling errors are then displayed in either the task list or in line with as you type spell checking. Now, what you're actually spell checking is strings and form buttons and labels. You're not actually spell checking the code. It's intelligent enough to know what to spell check. It comes with many spell checking options. You can specify what type of file extensions to spell check, what not to spell check, what string patterns to ignore. It can be automated with your builds inside Visual Studio, so they can build after every build. Or no, it runs after every build. It also comes with 21 international dictionaries, so you can provide typo-free applications in any language. Oh, and did I mention it's fast? Component 1 IntelliSpell is built with our spell checker control, the fastest spell checking control on the market, averaging over 400,000 words per second. The other product I'm going to briefly mention today is our Zap Optimizer. A Zap Optimizer is a Silverlight Zap file size reducing utility. Basically, what it does is it removes all of the unused assemblies from your finished Silverlight Zap file, yielding much smaller Zap files that download faster. Developers can build Zap Optimizer into their dev cycle with build automations, backups, and customizable output options. Developers also have the choice to obfuscate their Silverlight code, which otherwise could be interpreted and duplicated by Silverlight end users. And Zap Optimizer works with any third-party or any Silverlight assembly, and it's been tested to reduce files up to 70%. That's all I'm going to talk. That's all I have time for today. If you'd like to learn more, you can visit our website. There you'll even find a demo for Zap Optimizer where you can upload a Zap file and you can see for yourself how much it gets reduced.
Hello. How do I follow bunnies? Right, hello everybody. My name is Chris Turville. I work for a company called Gamcom. We're a software development and consultancy company based in London in the UK. And what we do primarily is we help people get up to speed with Team System and with ALM. So for those of you who aren't familiar with ALM, the best description I've ever heard is that it's an amorphous blob of confusion. So what we're about is trying to make it easy for people to get up to speed with ALM. So our product is called Taumia, as this subtle slide illustrates. And what Taumia is about is process workflow. So let me be clear about processes, because it can be used in lots of different ways. What we're talking about are more complex ALM processes which go across work items. So the kind of thing you have for managing your development sprint, or for turning a scenario into code or a user story or whatever you want to call it, or for managing a backlog item. So it's complex ALM processes where you've got parallel activities, you've got the need for email alerts, for escalation, all those kind of things. So Taumia provides a number of features. One of the things it does is it creates work items automatically for you. So rather than relying on your team to manually create work items and expecting those to be accurate, Taumia will actually create work items as you need them interactively according to your process definition. So what Taumia will actually let you do is design your own ALM process. So we've got a tool here which is designed to be really easy to use for non-technical people. It's rehosting the Windows workflow surface, and we can drag our own workflow elements onto there and just model our ALM process. So in this case, we've got an example development process, but it could be anything at all, whether that's for testing or project management. What you can then do is decide how this process should be deployed across your team projects. So we've got our Control Center application, where you can publish processes, and you can say for each project, on this project, I want to use this process because I'm doing it in an agile way or whatever it may be. And you can also monitor processes to see how they're getting on. And this is invaluable if you've got a distributed team. So we use this ourselves to manage our offshore center. And we can just see at a click of a button, you know, have you guys finished development? Where in that process are you? How far through the construction phase are we? So we also provide a number of reports. So this is a visual progress report. So you can see up the top there, those ones have been done. The ones with the yellow ring around them are active at the moment, and the ones which are transparent haven't yet been started. And this is real time. And the numbers in the bottom corner there actually indicate rework as well. So you can see that review failed and it's gone round twice. And you can get information about who was involved in that review So we've got tabular reports and history reports and all those kind of things as well. So basically what Tamiya lets you do is model your own ALM processes and have them deployed interactively within Visual Studio. So as you close off that task, the next task appears on your list or someone else's list, or you get an email alert to tell you that something bad has happened in your process. That's probably all I've got time to tell you. But we are here all week. If you'd like to see a demo of the tool where you can actually see these things running, we can actually just give us a process. We can knock it up in about 10 minutes and put it into the team system for you. And the website is there. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is John McHugh. Until about a month ago, I was a product manager for a couple of the tools I'm going to be talking about. What I'm going to talk about is something called Parallel Studio. You probably have heard of Intel, and we make processors. A lot of computers have the Intel processor. And computers now are mostly multi-core, and I'm going to talk about that briefly. It's not just us. Any processor manufacturer, if they want to get more performance, instead of making the clock rate faster, they're putting multiple cores on a chip. It requires some changes in the way that you program, and that's what I'm going to talk about. How many people here are C++ programmers? Okay. You're the people that care about this. We're focused on C++. I think the argument would be that you need to focus on something and do it well. That's what we're doing. We're focusing on C++ developers. It's a perfect combination because Visual Studio is an awesome IDE. It has, as you all know, it has unbelievable abilities for writing code and managing code and so forth. But if you want to write code that takes advantage of multi-core processors, that's where we come in. Parallel Studio plugs right into Visual Studio. So all processors basically today are shipping that are multi-core. And again, it's not just Intel, it's from other processor manufacturers. And it adds another level of complexity to writing code. I mean, writing good code's hard anyways, and now you add threading to it, how do you do that? How do you implement that? When you add threading, there's a new class of bugs that can crop up that are kind of nasty, like race conditions and deadlocks. And then tuning those things. You need visibility into multiple threads and how you take advantage of that. So Intel has put together a package called Parallel Studio. It has three components. It's integrated very nicely into Visual Studio. And it works both for threaded and single-threaded applications. So I don't want to make it sound like it's only for threading. If you have a single-threaded app or, you know, serial app, these tools also are very powerful for that. Makes you more productive because you're going to find errors. You're going to be able to write the code faster, find the errors that could cause problems, and tune it to go faster. And if you have error-free code, obviously your support costs are less. Oops, sorry about that. So there are four tools that are part of Parallel Studio. The first one I'm going to talk about is called Advisor. It's actually in a preview mode right now. We're going to be shipping it in 2010. And it's available. We've got a site called whatif.intel.com where you can get a preview copy of this. And think of it as an advisor. Take a look at my code and tell me where I could add parallelism, where I could thread, because I don't know where to do it. And it'll go through and it'll find the areas where you could add parallelism, add threading, and then also make suggestions on how to best do that. The second tool is Composer. I mean, if you're a C++ programmer, you've used Visual C++ as your compiler. We're completely compatible with that. But the cool thing is that you can expect 10, 20, 30%, 100% better performance. Sometimes nothing. It really depends on your application. But in most cases, if you just take your code, use our compiler, recompile, do nothing else, you can expect a measurable improvement in performance. And I'm not going to go into the benchmark because I can't control it, but we have a benchmark we did with Spec where it varied from 9% to 20% improvement. So it's very cool that you can just use this optimized compiler and get better performance. And it also includes two threaded libraries, threading building blocks, which you may have heard of. It's an open source library, and it abstracts threading so that it makes it easier to add threading and manage it. And then integrated performance primitives, if you're doing anything with video, audio, multimedia in general, cryptology, there's some very nice optimized threaded libraries in there. Perl Inspector, the top is showing the two functions it does. It finds memory errors and threading errors. And it does it in a very nice way. It highlights all the errors it finds, and you can go through step by step and find those errors. It finds memory leaks, corruption, and misallocations, those nasty memory things. And then data races and deadlocks, which are part of the threading part of things. Thank you. It works. Thank you.
Thanks. This on?
Okay, let's... Whoops.
Here we go. Hi. I'm Wayne Sitra, and I'm from JN Bridge. And we produce Java.NET interoperability products. What we do is we allow you to call anything Java from .NET, anything .NET from Java. The Java can be running in the same... and the .NET can be running in the same process. They can be running in different processes on the same machine. They can be running on different machines across the network or around the world. It's a proxy-based approach. The idea is that you point our tool at the Java classes you want to access. You create .NET proxy classes for these tools, and then you program against the proxy classes, or vice versa. You can point our tool at .NET classes, create Java proxies, and use them in your Java program. So for the longest time, we had a standalone tool, but we thought it would be a good idea to integrate our tool into Visual Studio and into the development cycle. So we have a Visual Studio plugin that we've been using that we've offered for Visual Studio 2005 and 2008. It's got a new project that you can kind of see there, and a new editor, which is essentially a browser, which allows you to browse the Java classes that are available and decide which ones you want to access from your .NET code. Building this project means generating the proxies. Referencing this project means using those proxies, referencing those proxies in your other projects. So because we go in both directions, we also have a plugin for Eclipse, which allows you to do the same thing to access .NET classes from Java. One cool thing, this editor here that you can see, is that same Windows Forms component that was there in Visual Studio. This is pretty cool. Essentially, what we've done is we've embedded a Windows Forms program in this SWT application. That's a JN Bridge capability, and essentially we're eating our own dog food there. Show you what's coming next. This is our plugin running in Visual Studio 2010, an early version. In Beta 2, it's broken, but that's why the Dev Clinic is here, so we can learn how to fix it. And that's really all I wanted to talk about. So... in the remaining minutes, feel free to copy down contact information and send me an email, look for me at the conference if you have any questions, and that's really all I have to say. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Matt Schutze. I'm with Micro Focus. Micro Focus historically is known for their COBOL application development environment, but this year Micro Focus took the leap of jumping into automatic software quality and testing by acquiring CompuWare's testing tools as well as Borland's testing, the whole corporation. So they swallowed a lot, and with that CompuWare acquisition, they acquired Dev Partner Studio. Dev Partner is a set of developer productivity tools that plug right into Visual Studio. I've got a real simple shot of what we got working on Friday night with the Beta 2. Really raw, but the signature integration point in terms of how I extend Visual Studio is the toolbar in the middle. You see sort of a checkerboard. That's the error detection component based on Bounce Checker, one of the original new Mega products that CompuWare acquired about 10 years ago. In terms of the way I interpreted this talk, how do I extend Visual Studio? The error detection, performance profiling, coverage profiling, and memory leak detection that DevPartner Studio offers comes in two flavors. Part of it is .NET. Part of it is native C++, kind of like the Intel Parallel Studio we just saw. The native C++ piece works because of some magic we do with the compiler, with the actual Microsoft compiler. We do some instrumentation at build time so that we know what your code's going to be doing during runtime and actually supplant or hook into the build time operation of the IDE with the compiler and linker, CL and link. So how do we actually extend Visual Studio? We jump in and add our callbacks during compilation so that when you run, we know exactly what your code's doing and it can point out some of the nasties. In terms of how things used to work, we have two tools. One's called NMCL and one's called NMLink. They would be injected into your build stream right inside of Visual Studio, and then your binaries would have our instrumentation in line. The proof of that is just a little screenshot of Process Explorer showing NMCL in being called directly by the build chain, and then we didn't actually ever replace the compiler. The compiler is still there. In 2010, the C++ tool suite has been extended by using MS Build. This broke us entirely. We didn't have this in our tool chain before. So, again, beta 1 we had working. Beta 2 as of Friday, you can sort of see we now correctly inject ourselves back into the tool chain under MS Build. We did this by overriding the MS Build definitions that are part of Visual Studio. There was not really a clean API, so it really is extending Visual Studio, probably in a way that it wasn't intended. In terms of DevPartner Studio, we are alive and well under Micro Focus ownership. In fact, yesterday we announced our Windows 7 release, so the Try It Now site's up if you're interested. We've got evaluation demos and other material on our web. So please check it out. Thanks a lot.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Duncan Brigginshaw. I work for a UK company called Odin Technology. And this is how I extend Visual Studio in 5 minutes. I'm actually going to go for a record today. I'm going to try and get through 24 slides during the 5 minutes. Now, I know you guys have had information overload, so I'm going to try and keep it simple for you. I could begin by going down this road of discussing domain-specific modeling, DSLs, that sort of thing. But using some inspiration from my one-year-old daughter, I thought I'd take a child's view of information technology and software development for you. So here are some of the stars of the next 5 minutes. Here's our developer. His hobby is kite surfing, generally rocking, and his favorite tool is obviously Visual Studio. Here's our tester. His hobby, or her hobby, is organizing MP3 collections. His favorite tool is Excel and obviously Visual Studio Team System. Here's our manager. His hobby, or her hobby, is hunting. Favorite tool is MS Project and obviously Visual Studio Team System. And of course, money. Hobby being the root of all evil, and favorite tool is managers. So what's this got to do with Visual Studio? So how do we extend Visual Studio? Well, if anyone was in on the talk earlier today, there's this thing called coded UI testing, which has appeared in Visual Studio 2010. Excellent. Test automation, we're thinking. So that's right. Here's our typical first go at test automation. That's just testing, right? Let's get my testers to do this. So I'll write test conditions and scripts in Excel. I'll hit record, and that should be it, right? Well, if anyone's had any experience of test automation, they know it's not as simple as that. They need to do a little bit more to get this to work. So our automation budget goes down the proverbial child's toilet. Is there a better way? Well, more enlightened approach, I'll write test conditions and scripts in Excel, and I'll get my developer, our green cube, which nicely ties in with the green cube on the coded UI test. I hope you'll notice there. And they'll code them up as UI tests. Now, that's an approach that people have been using for quite a while with other tool sets. So we have a different team mix here. We have a number of developers, and we have a number of testers in our code automation team. Automation, but it's obviously a bit larger because of that mix, and our manager is probably going to ask, is this cost-effective? Am I getting value for using coded UI automation here? So is there another way? Well, this is the Axe approach, and this is our tool set. We get the testers to write test conditions and scripts in Excel, and we get Axe to generate, using code generation techniques, coded UI tests from those Excel spreadsheets. Our automation team slightly changes in its profile. It's based on testers predominantly, but we still need a dev component in all of this, someone to tailor the coded UI framework, someone to tailor the test code generation framework that we provide in order to provide test automation. Our automation budget's smaller, and our manager, coded UI tests rock. Does it work? Well, of course it works. I wouldn't be standing here otherwise. We've been generating VBScript, VBA, C#, Ruby, TSL, and four tests for nearly 9 years now for a variety of different test automation tools. So it's great news for us that Microsoft are now in on this game. And it works brilliantly with Agile as well. Those are some of our users. You might recognize a couple of them. So we have an industry pedigree as well. Other links to Team System, assets stored in TFS, built on .NET. It uses VSTO for our Excel component, and we propose to be ready for the VS 2010 launch with closer integration with TSF reporting and test management. Main benefits, it works. It's easier and cheaper to implement and maintain than coding directly. It provides natural language test documentation as well as code, and et cetera, natural language reporting and best practice. So hopefully I've beat the record, 24 slides in 5 minutes. Thanks very much, Schultz.
I'm Tracy Reagan. That's me. That's how you get in touch with me. I'm one of the co-founders of OpenMake Software, started back in 1995. What do? We do builds. And when I say builds, I mean compile, link, archive, package, deploy. Not just workflow, but build. Our product, OpenMake Meister and OpenMake Mojo. Meister does both build automation and workflow automation. Mojo does just workflow automation. How we extend .NET. So we're talking about building inside and outside of IDEs, particularly for like continuous integration where you don't want to have to do a click inside the IDE, but you want to build outside as a complete solution. Well, we address that for .NET. Now, .NET does a great job of that for a single solution file integrated through TFS into Team Build. We extend it out to support builds for all versions of .NET. So if you have an environment whereby you have something that looks like this, then we, of course, can support you. So about 11% of companies we learned today are a complete .NET shop. And in that case, they probably use more than one version of .NET. We cater to those companies. We take it one step further. For those companies who are multilingual or cross-platform or cross-language, however you want to refer to that, we support that all the way through Eclipse. So if you're doing Java compile, you're using JNBridge, and you're attempting to connect Java with .NET, or you're building Linux and Unix or even ZOS applications, we provide that ability to build inside and outside of those IDEs. So this would be about 51% of the companies apparently use a multilingual environment. So their compiles actually are a little more complex because they're using not only Java components but .NET components, and they could be using multiple versions of .NET. Again, that's who calls us. So why do we do that? We do it to minimize build errors. And when I say build, I mean compiling, linking, archiving, and package, not just check out, run a build script, run Maven, run make, run at. We replace those processes. We actually generate the make files, the NAND scripts, the AND scripts that you might normally code, which creates a very fast and dynamic environment, which is the second thing that we do is we accelerate your build times. You have a build that's taking 8 hours, then people call us and say, help us. We don't want to do continuous integration. integration with an 8-hour complete build. We also do build avoidance and what you would call incremental build processing on very large scales, because we do all the dependency scanning and checking and good build decision making. We provide transparency because we can actually tell you precisely what you put in your binary. So if you've got money spent in TFS and you're attempting to track the changes, we actually track that in the binary. We actually keep teams in sync, too. Our workflow tool, the workflow component, helps you sort out how to communicate across a large group of people what the steps are to compile your code, not just the compile, link, archive, package, and deploy steps, but any pre and post step that might go around that. And of course, we provide continuous integration services and a continuous integration server for .NET. So supported languages, we have full support of VS 6.0 through 2010. We're currently certifying on that. We integrate into TFS so you can actually keep track of the version of the component that you used in your compile, and we put that into an audit log. So, of course, this matching TFS to manage source to binaries is very important to many developers, and we support that. And we can be called by TeamBuild, allowing TeamBuild to manage the workflow component, where we would actually manage the MS build compile underneath the covers, including compiling external languages such as Java. We offer professional services. We do, of course, Maestro implementations, which involves quite a bit of compiling and working with companies and standardizing their compile process across multiple languages and multiple versions of the .NET compiler. We do continuous integration work with companies, helping them sort out how to put that continuous integration process together. And, of course, we do TFS and team build implementations. We won the Jolt Award and the Code Project Award in the ALM category this year. And that's how you get in touch with us. Thank you.
Hello. As the last person of the day, I stand between you, forward, and drinks, I suppose. So I have to start with a deep philosophical question, which is, if an application fails in the wild and there are no developers to notice, do your user screams actually make a noise? Okay, and to answer that question for you tonight, I have to ask you to step not just out of the box, but to forget that there even is a box. So you're going to ask yourselves, why did the speakers with a wireless phone stay behind a desk on the far left-hand side when there's people all the way over there, okay? So the first thing I want to say is, for those of you that know Dotfuscator, okay, forget it. Okay, yes, we still do that stuff, but what we're talking about here today is about sitting at the end of the build process and injecting instrumentation to allow you to monitor and measure the usage, adoption, and patterns and practices of your users in the field, in the wild, stream that information to any one of many arbitrary endpoints in one or more clouds, do the analytics, stream that information back into your other systems, whether they be CRM systems, IT operation systems, or last but certainly not least, your application lifecycle and development environments like Visual Studio 2010. So this session is about what we've done with Visual Studio 2010. So let me start with a few beta 2 screenshots. Some of you may have already seen the Architect Explorer. This looks maybe a little different. This is the assembly. This is the graph showing all of the assemblies of an application, but the color coding is showing test code coverage. Okay, fine. That's not ours. The size of those nodes is showing the relative usage of those methods in the field. So a large red node, well, it's highlight, ignore user. A large red node means it's something that's being used a lot, but not tested so much. That's a heat map. You can click on that node, and you can drill right into the code editor. Okay, and you can see, well, the way I cut it, you can't see, we have a margin, but we can now go down and navigate to the method that was read, and you can then break out in line the usage of that method inside the code editor so the developer can decide what they need to do. And in this case, well, actually, I'm not going to use up my 5 minutes of fame, to see how this captures dynamic calls that cannot be captured by static analysis, see me afterwards. Okay, so what does this do? Oh, one thing I skipped in the very first slide. Those of you that know, Dotfuscator has been in the box since 2003. In 2010, this functionality, feature and session usage, is in the box as part of the community edition in beta 1 and beta 2. Okay, so you can start doing this today with what you download from Microsoft. You can ask what's running, what applications, what versions of those applications, what features within those versions, what methods that make up those features. How's it doing? Stability, performance. How's it compare? You can look at a hosted version. This will stream usage data from Azure out of that cloud back to you for analysis from the Compact framework, from inside Silverlight. In fact, from any .NET assembly, even if it wasn't originally compiled under 4.0 and under 2010. So the buzz is all about user-centered, value-driven, iterative development. But instead of spending 5 weeks studying somebody to figure out by their clothes and their car and their furniture what their favorite color is, why not just ask them? So the opportunities, of course, for you building software, you can optimize, build the right stuff better, of course, confidently pursue your roadmap and look for new sources of revenue. For your clients, you'll be able to take what point of sale did for retail, you'll be able to take usage around point of work, stream it into their operations, their business activity, and business intelligence systems. Security, event, and incident management. You can capture patterns, practices, conflict of usage, and segregation of duties. And for IT operations, you can build management packs inside MOM, so on and so forth. So this is in the box. We'll be around tonight. We can demo this software. Our CTO is here. Contact us. Thank you.
Thank you to all of our partners who presented. One big more round of applause for everybody. Thank you very much. This is the close of our first 2 days of the conference, so we want to thank all of the attendees who have been with us so far, who have come to learn how to extend Visual Studio, learn about all of the new exciting stuff with Beta 2, and all the new features, functionality. Many of you will be leaving us today, and we, again, happy that you came. If you have any feedback and questions, we will be sending out a survey via email, so please do share, take the time to fill out. Let us know how our presenters did. Let us know how you enjoyed the event, and we'll take that feedback so that we can scope better events in the future for you. And then tomorrow and the rest of the week continues on with our VSIP and Inner Circle partners, so we do have lots more activities and content for you as well. And I'll let Catherine say a couple words as well.
There's not much more to say, but thanks for being here. We really appreciate you being part of our community in many ways. Don't miss the party tonight, and for our partners, please come back tomorrow. And as Heather said, please do fill out the surveys. We really take your feedback very seriously, and we want to make this a great event for you next year. So we hope we'll see you again next year. Thank you.